This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, folks. Hope you had a great weekend. A lot going on this weekend. Zurich Classic out there at the TPC course. They have activities all week long. Obviously, Jazz Fest starts on Thursday as well. The Pelicans go into game two, unfortunately losing last night. A lot happening. And the NFL draft coming up as well. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, will join us in the 12 o'clock hour. Rafael Goyeneche in the 11 o'clock hour. And here joining us now in the 10 o'clock hour, right out of the box, Helena Moreno, New Orleans City Council. Helena, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Good morning.
Helena, I know that you have a Public Works Committee meeting today that you wanted to get to. A lot going on there. What do y'all expect to hear today?
So today in the Public Works meeting, it's really a packed agenda. We have the Sewage and Water Board coming in to talk about their deployment of the smart meters. As you know, currently the Sewage and Water Board has had significant billing issues. A lot of it has to do with operator error, really, the meter readers not reading correctly, that sometimes leads to these incorrect bills. So what Sewage and Water Board is now working on is deploying these smart meters where there won't be any meter readers. It'll just be set, the information from your house or business is just going to be sent directly to the Sewage and Water Board electronically, similar to what Entergy deployed with their smart meter system. So that's one presentation. Another big presentation, well, really two more this morning that we have with drainage issues, and that is where we are with catch basin cleaning. So I'm really interested to hear that update. And then finally, there's also going to be a presentation on what we're doing with the lighting infrastructure, particularly on our interstates. That's one of the main issues that I have been focusing on. There are a lot of different issues happening with our lighting infrastructure, and one of the reasons why we're actually having trouble keeping the lights on is because, unfortunately, thieves are going in and stealing the copper from some of these lights, and that's taking out like strings of lights on our interstates. And so, you know, I've been working with the Department of Public Works and saying to them, it's like, well, we can't keep doing things the same. Why don't we try to look at utilizing different materials in our lighting systems? Why don't we, you know, take a look at what other cities are doing, because we're not the only city dealing with a situation like this. Some are now transitioning some of their lights to solar so that you don't have this copper wiring. And then kind of the third piece is I did reach out to state police, because as they start to build their troop here in New Orleans, one of the things that I would like to see is state police on our interstates. As we all know, state police, that's what they're really good at, patrolling interstates. And so as they patrol our interstates to be able to try to stop those thieves from getting into our lighting infrastructure and stealing copper. And then at the same time, Chief Kirkpatrick, I know that she's talked to me about trying to get with state police to create some of these task forces around who's buying stolen copper as well. So try to get it on both ends. So, like I said, a lot going on this morning, and that's just one committee that we have today. We have another one coming up at 1 o'clock, which is a quality of life and community development committee, which also has a lot of interesting things and many contracts going through as well.
It's really disheartening. You know, you work so hard to maintain your infrastructure. It's hard on a good day. Stuff breaks and it goes bad, but you have these thieves that are out there stealing all of this equipment and just making it so much harder. We are in a critical point right now in the work up to the Super Bowl in February, trying to improve and put our best face on. And it seems as though sometimes we're taking one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I keep saying that we can't continue doing things the same way and expect a different outcome. So that's why I'm constantly pushing these city departments to think differently, to think outside the box. It's like, okay, if everyone's constantly stealing our copper the way we're doing things now, well, what can we do differently then? What are other cities doing? And so because of some of the work that I've been doing there and some of the pushing I've been doing there, there is actually now going to be a request for really proposal based on, you know, kind of new innovative solutions that could be out there. And we want to go out to third party experts, like what do they suggest? And what do the costs look like, too, if we're going to be doing some retrofitting of some of these lighting infrastructure as well. So, like I said, it's just, you know, we just can't keep doing things the same and expect things to change. We have to really start thinking outside the box, doing things differently, seeing what other cities are doing, and hopefully that'll lead to a better outcome.
Absolutely. Last week, you went up to Baton Rouge, a place that you're familiar with, to testify relative to gun-free zones. How were you received? How was your message received?
Well, I'll say this. You know, obviously, I still have a lot of personal relationships up in Baton Rouge at the legislature. I served in the legislature for 8 years alongside our current council vice president, J.P. Morrell. He was a senator when I was a state rep. So it's always good to see familiar faces up there. The reason why I was there is because I am supporting legislation that our New Orleans Police Department is supporting. And it's really two bills, Newell. And these bills have to do with still being able to have some type of exemption to the new permitless concealed carry law that will go into effect this summer. And so there are two bills. One is by Senator Kirk Talbot. And that one would still require a concealed carry permit to carry concealed in the French Quarter. And then there's another bill, which is House Bill 498 by Representative Knox. And this bill has been significantly amended now, Newell. It used to be that it would require a firearm-free zone that would include the French Quarter, downtown, and convention center area. But now that's been amended down to being more similar to Senator Talbot's bill, which would mean that it would just require a concealed carry permit in this area. And so the reason why NOPD believes that this legislation is important, and let me just say that NOPD wishes that the entire city of New Orleans, as do I, would be exempt from the permitless concealed carry, is because they really feel that things need to stay with you being able to utilize a tool to be able to stop individuals to check for permits, because that is one of the ways that they have been able to get illegal firearms, Newell, from places that are mostly very crowded, like the French Quarter, downtown area, things like that. And so what they worry about is that if there are no exemptions in the city of New Orleans, no carve-outs to this law that will take effect this summer, that means that in very crowded areas during huge events, you know, like Mardi Gras, let's take the French Quarter, that where ordinarily if they believe that they see someone, you know, with a firearm in their pocket, with a firearm in their jacket, they can't stop this person anymore and say, hey, are you permitted to have a concealed firearm? And usually when they stop a person and they have a permit, they're like, yes, you know, yes, officer, you know, in my back pocket, you'll see my permit. I'm permitted to carry and it's no big deal and no problem. But sometimes that's not the case. And they've been able to get, you know, hundreds of firearms out of the hands of those who are not legally supposed to be possessing firearms at all. Felons is one example. Those that have protective orders or domestic violence charges against them. Individuals who are not supposed to be carrying a firearm, they've been able to get these guns, these illegal firearms off of our streets and maybe potentially prevented shootings. So the reason why they want some type of exemption to continue to require a concealed carry permit in these areas is so that they can do as much as possible to do illegal firearm enforcement in these areas. Because, of course, what we don't want is to have, you know, more shootings, even more shootings than the one that we just had outside of a club in the Warehouse District last week, where you had, you know, one person who was beefing with another person, and this person decided to take a firearm and started shooting and ended up shooting 12 people and killing one young lady, 24-year-old Jezreel Poliet, who had her entire life in front of her, just because, you know, he decided to take out a firearm and just start shooting into a crowd. And so we want to do everything possible to prevent these types of shootings, and we're hoping that one of these pieces of legislation prevails so that there can be some type of exemption within the city of New Orleans for police to still be able to do this enforcement. And like I said, this is a pro-NOPD, pro-law enforcement piece of legislation. There's many law enforcement experts that, you know, are supporting bills like this and understand that the city of New Orleans is much different than other cities across the state. We're much different than a Gray, Louisiana, or Stonewall, or Oakdale, or places like that, smaller towns where, you know, a conceal a permitless carry is not that big of a deal. But here in our city, where we have roughly 17 to 19 million visitors every year who predominantly come to visit a 2-square-mile area in our city, like this exemption, in my opinion, would just make common sense.
Yeah, it's not one, it's arbitrary. In fact, I support Kirk Talbot's bill. And I've had conversations with many people about it. I believe it's commonsensical. You know, they point to other areas of the country, but no other area in the country allows open container, allows bars to stay open 24/7. We have ingredients to what happens out on our streets that you don't find in other communities. So how was the reception? I mean, it seems as though the NRA and others are trying to make a big deal out of this issue, as though we're trying to take away the rights of people to carry a gun and this and that. It's always the extreme. It kind of frustrates me. What are you hearing from Baton Rouge?
So when I'll say this, I've been hearing from legislators from both sides of the aisle, even when the special session was happening and there was a consideration of the permitless concealed carry, where legislators were telling me that they were really hoping for some type of New Orleans carve out. They really were, including Republican lawmakers, that they just believed that it really made sense. And particularly with what Senator Talbot is trying to do, they said that their big concern was the quarter and the large crowds in the French Quarter. Now, moving forward to this particular session, when myself and Chief Deputy Nick Gernon went up on behalf of supporting the NOPD, we found that there was obviously significant opposition if this were a full-out firearm-free zone, which is what Representative Knox initially had in his bill. And so now that has been amended to have it be a concealed carry permit zone. And once it was amended down to require a concealed carry permit, then it seemed that made the opposition, I mean, I think they were still opposed, but it made it less severe, right? Less, it wasn't as just, you know, no way, no how. There seemed to be a little bit of softening. Well, okay, well, you would still be able to carry in these areas concealed, but you would just have to have a permit, just like we do right now, just like we do right now. And so, you know, we're hoping that we're going to be successful, you know, in the next couple of weeks with Senator Talbot's bill. I know he's been working really hard. You know, he's been working with some of the Republican lawmakers as well who are in support of this. But you know, I'm hoping that the the NRA will see that this is just a common sense approach that we're trying to do. It's not trying to take guns away from law-abiding citizens or anything like that, or trying to prevent anyone from trying to protect themselves. We just want to make sure that, you know, it's trained individuals who are carrying concealed, and that NOPD has as many tools as possible to try to prevent additional shootings in our city, in particular in these very crowded areas of our city as well.
Helena, so, some of what I'm hearing from folks, and this is, I think, both a perception issue as well as it's rooted in reality, is that many folks believe that we don't really take the violation of gun laws very seriously. And we see a lot that's going on in the criminal court system. We see the DA, you know, not really prosecuting a lot of these cases as aggressively as they should be. In fact, just week before last, Rafi Goyeneche and I talked about a series of cases that are very troubling. And, you know, and it's hard to sell a message that we want to be serious about this and we take this serious when we have so many other it's almost as though we're swimming upstream sometimes where we have other aspects of the criminal justice system that just don't seem to be aligned with this mantra that we're taking it seriously. And I mean, we must and shall, we have to get our house in order. We have to get the entire house in order. And it gets harder and harder to convince people in Baton Rouge as to where we are on certain issues when the house isn't in order. Your thoughts?
Yeah. And I'll say this, you know, I've had conversations with NOPD, you know, just thinking about some of the questions that may be asked by legislators around this particular issue. And what they always go back to, Newell, is on this particular issue is what they're trying to do, and the main focus for them is trying to remove that imminent threat of that person with a firearm, potentially an illegal firearm that could potentially be there to inflict harm on someone or many people, is removing that imminent threat and removing it now. And that's how they believe that this is really an effective tool in preventing shootings and mass casualties in these very crowded areas. And so that's where NOPD continues to just make their point, which I think is a really good and valid point. It is about removing those individuals.
It is, but it doesn't always move the needle on public perception. And sometimes perception is reality. I mean, you know, I served in that capacity for 40 years. I get it. That's why I take the position that I'm taking. But we got to get our house in order, and it's just not, and it's going to get increasingly harder to sell any of this when we keep hearing story after story after story that we're not taking it seriously. I wanted to move on and ask you your thoughts on a couple of things real quick.
Sure.
I have taken a very strong position on this public records bill. I think it's a disaster. I've served on both sides. You have served on, you know, you've been on both sides. You've been on the media. You've been an elected official. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Well, let me just tell you, I think that the legislation is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think, you know, it just will lead to so much more additional, you know, mistrust in public officials by the people of the state of Louisiana. I think that it's going to be such an opportunity for people in elected and public offices to be able to hide so much. I think it potentially could lead to additional corruption. I think it's terrible. I think it's like moving us in the complete, you know, wrong direction. I'm hoping, and what I'm hearing, Newell, is that the Senate is planning on adding significant amendments to this bill. I don't know what those would look like or what, but I mean, I think it is incredibly problematic and moves us in a terrible direction in the state.
Yeah, I think it's scheduled to be on the Senate floor today. I'm trying to get that confirmed, but no one seems to know, which that's not unusual. I mean, those kind of things happen. Your thoughts about the Constitution?
You know, the Senate schedules never, you know, accurate. If you're going up to something that's scheduled in the Senate on the Senate floor, it's like, come back another day, you know?
Yeah. We'll get the vote count first.
Exactly. Right.
Then decide whether you're going to make the trek.
Exactly.
Your thoughts on the Constitutional Convention?
So I also think that this is really just being rushed through. It's too fast. There's not enough input happening. I'm also hearing, Newell, that that's likely, you know, probably not going to happen. And just based on kind of like the pushback that's coming from, you know, both the House and Senate members. And it's just way too fast, not enough input. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And then, you know, next thing you know, we've got a rewritten constitution. So I serious issues with that as well.
Helena, I took the stand that if my two legislators, Senator Cameron Henry and Representative Lori Schlegel, vote to have that Constitutional Convention, I will never vote for them again. That's how strongly I feel about this. I call you. You know me well. I call it like it is.
I
mean, this is a defining moment piece of legislation, where I think they're trying to circumvent the public will. The public will is what put these amendments to the Constitution, and they want to take us out of the process from the very beginning. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And not to mention, it's like the whole rush job, too, makes it look really, you know, kind of like there's something nefarious going on, too, which leads the public to be even more frightened about what potentially could come. So I just think that the way that this was all laid out and done, I mean, I don't think it's going to be workable. And I don't think the bill is actually going to advance that much further.
Well, I hope you'd rather talk to me than go to the Public Works Committee, but I do understand your priority.
Hey, you might not be wrong about that.
Well, I know you got to go. We really appreciate your time this morning, and have a great week.
Thank you, Noel. Appreciate it. You too.
All righty. Helena Moreno, New Orleans City Council. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Give us a shout. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Folks, are you ready to go to the biggest ever Jazz Fest? Experience the music, food, and culture of Louisiana, plus great artists like Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone Shorty, and more. Listen to Tommy Tucker, me, Scoot, and Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest. Password of the day, then go to WWL.com/contest and register to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest, plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle Passes. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. We'll be broadcasting live from out there this Friday. Can't wait. Look forward to it. And we'll be giving out that word a little later in the show. I was glad to hear from Helena Moreno. I suspected that she would be opposed to Senate Bill 482 by Senator Heather Cloud relative to modifying the Public Records Act. They're feeling the pressure, folks. They truly are. But I'm really waiting for more Republicans to stand up and publicly announce that they're not in favor of the bill as proposed by Senator Heather Cloud from Turkey Creek. It's scheduled to be heard on the Senate floor today. I don't think that that's going to happen based on what Councilmember Moreno just articulated about what she's hearing, that they're working on amendments. I would rather them just take a complete hands-off to this, have more deliberation about this, let more people understand what this is all about, give them some time to consume all of this. This, in conjunction with HB 800, this constitutional convention idea, is a disaster. You know, and what's really interesting about this and what I don't understand is that let's just look to Washington, D.C. Every day of every week, we hear Republican leaders complaining about the inability to gain access to records because the Washington bureaucracy is slow walking FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests up there, and consistently and constantly complaining about same. Meanwhile, back at home, here in Baton Rouge, we're making it harder. You see the duplicity? This is part of the problem with the Republican Party. We cannot get our it together. Why anyone in this party would think that this is a great idea is beyond me. On the one hand, they're complaining in D.C., and on the other, they're trying to restrict public records even more. Stupid is as stupid does. And they really believe that they're going to curry the favor of the general public as it relates to this issue? This is craziness. The bill passes out of the Senate committee. Mike Fessy from HOMA, he votes for it, Republican. Gregory Miller from Norco, he votes for it, Republican. Blake Miguez votes for it from New Iberia, another Republican. Mike Reese, another Republican from Leesville, votes for it. Caleb Kleinpeter from Port Allen, Republican, he votes it out of committee. Glenn Womack, a Republican from Harrisonburg, votes it out of committee. The two that vote against, Sam Jenkins from Shreveport, Democrat, Gary Carter from New Orleans, Democrat, and Cleo Fields did not vote. So on a 6-2 vote, they pass this crazy piece of legislation as it relates to public records. Call your legislators today. Call them today. And let them know where you stand on this. Let them know that you want the sun to shine on public records. This is an attempt to, and the words that they use in this bill are just unbelievable. I don't believe in coincidences. This was intentional, the way that this was drafted. This covers so much material, there would be little or nothing left as it relates to public records. So you never really know where any of your elected leaders are going to stand on any particular issue. So I don't know about you, but I'm still waiting for more Republicans because it seems like most of the Democrats are against this bill. My question is what do any of these folks have to hide? Why is this such a big concern? When you ask them for examples of how the Public Records Act is being weaponized against them, crickets. You hear nothing. If that doesn't cause concern for you, I don't know what will. Give your legislators a call. Just Google their name. Their office will come up. Let them know. Whoever answers the phone, if there's a voicemail, give them your name. Give them your number and tell them you're opposed to Senate Bill 482 by Senator Heather Cloud from Turkey Creek, Louisiana. And while you're there, tell them you're opposed to HB 800, too, the Constitutional Convention. That's supposed to go before the House and Governmental Affairs Committee on April the 24th, which is Wednesday at 9 a.m. It'll be an opportunity for us to see where folks are going to vote on that. And we're going to talk about the ones who vote in favor of that. Because I've gone out and said that if my legislators vote for that piece of horrible, disastrous legislation, they will never get my vote again, period. And I will encourage people to run against them. for that very reason. Because this is a defining moment in governing of the state of Louisiana. I don't disagree that we need to do something relative to the Constitution and the amendments and the like, but this has to be a process that is open, transparent, deliberate, as opposed to this kind of get-rich-quick scheme that we're trying to set up in a very short order. And then they try to BS us by saying, well, you know, you ultimately get to vote on everything that we do. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your feeling on that. How about you give us more say-so in the process like it was done the first time? How about that? Why is that process so offensive to you? Same thing. Republicans are complaining about the bureaucracy in D.C., that they can't get anything done, and this and that and everything else, doing the people's work, as they put it. The people's work, right? But we're down here in Baton Rouge, and we don't want to let any of the people get involved. So all the delegates to the convention are going to be 27 people that, for the most part, the governor likes, and 144 legislators. And that's it. So if you're not on the governor-like list of the 27, there may be a couple of folks that he has in a token way thrown in there to try and make it seem like we are even thinking about the word bipartisan. Joke that is. Because we're trying to unseat a Speaker of the House in D.C. because he might even propose legislation like he did this past week that the Democrats may actually like, for fear that they may get some positive credit from that in the upcoming election. Forget about whether or not it's important to the country. Forget about whether or not the issue is important to you. Forget about all of those things. Forget about the sanctity of anything up there, because if it could possibly lead to something positive to the other side, we have to be against it. That's credible leadership at its best, right? Yeah, right. Here we go again. Here we go again. Got a text here. Why should we call our legislators? They don't listen to us anyway. Give them the opportunity. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And then when they violate that, don't vote for them. Do not vote for any of them. Let them know. If you vote yay on Senate Bill 482 or HB 800, I'm not voting for you. Plain and simple. And stick to the message. When they come up, don't vote for them. And remind them at community meetings, neighborhood meetings, everything where they show up, where they want to talk about their record, and if they show up, because less and less are showing up these days, because they really don't want to face the music in many respects, do not vote for them. It's the same thing in the criminal justice world. We vote for people that we know have either represented individuals. These are life choices that people make about their own occupations. We vote them into critical positions that we know that they have an inclination and a leaning towards certain things that are contrary to your best interests, and yet we vote them in anyway. And then when there's an outcome where they've represented someone who's an incredibly bad person, or, you know, we don't do what we're supposed to do under the law, and we're going to be talking about an example of this coming up with Rafael Goyeneche in the 11 o'clock hour relative to our judiciary. We know what their record is, and we know what they've represented and so forth leading up to that, and we get there, and then we complain when they actually are lenient as to certain type of criminal violators. And then we ask ourselves why. We actually ask ourselves why. This is crazy. That's why when you go into the booth, you exercise what's in your best interest. You're actually allowed to do that. And you know the beauty of it? You don't have to make an excuse. The same way when I'm asking for what are the privileges of being a citizen in this country. I've asked it several times. I want to know. I'd love to know. I'm not going to make an excuse for it. And neither should you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Let's go to Lewis. You're up. What say you?
Good morning. Great show.
Good morning. Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to make a comment. I've been a candidate in an election and always voted, and it's so discouraging because the voter turnout is what I just wanted to bring that point up to you. We try to get so much done, and people have such malaise. It's just low voter turnout.
No, I agree with you. I mean, you know, we had elections, about a month ago, and had less than 20% turnout in elections. And we have runoffs coming up this Saturday, probably going to have an 8% turnout. And I beg of people to get out. I early voted. That opportunity's gone. So now you have to vote election day. Get out there. Look at the candidates. Look at what they've done in their life and decide what it is that you want representing you. Plain and simple. Because in the end, this matters. It matters. That's why I have historically taken the stands that I have, because I know how much it matters. And when it hits home, when it hits your family, where it impacts your life, it's too late to say, I should have taken the time to go vote. Stand up, figure it out, get to the polls. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Waiting to hear from more Republicans on this public records bill. Senator Pat Connick, the only one I'm aware of that's gone out there and said he is opposed. Waiting for the leaders to step up.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.